It's a schlussen and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, we just finished the Tisha B'Av, and we're in Parshas Veschanon, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Klal Yisrael. The Beis Hamikdash is still not here, and we have to keep on davening. But we're going to do what we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us, again, we're in the middle of Moshe Rabbeinu's six-week speech, preparing Klal Yisrael, that they're going to finally go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says, Perek Gimel Pasachov Gimel Veschanan El Hashem Be'ez Hahi Lemor. And I dive into you at Hashem at this time. Rashi says, what do you mean, Veschanan? Ze'echon me'asar l'shanot shenikra tefila. This is one of the 10 expressions that explain the idea of tefila, k'de'isa b'sifri. So I heard over Tisha B'Av, Herschel Schachter, I was an NCSY Kollel, and Herschel Schachter spoke, and we know Veschanan is Gematria 515, and the Medrash says, found in Dvarim Rabbah, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud, that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you davening, he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael so badly. And Hashem says, if you daven, if you go one more time, I'm going to have to let you in. Don't daven. It's a difficult thing to fully understand. But furthermore, we know Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to go into Eretz Yisrael. But when Klal Yisrael messed up with Chet HaEgel, right? Shavuos B'Tammuz, we spoke about Chet HaEgel. They jumped to conclusions. They didn't see Moshe Rabbeinu. And even though they did such a bad thing, whether it was Avodah Zarah or not Avodah Zarah, it was very bad. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to daven and ask for a kapara. And that's where we have Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum echanun, the Yud Gimel Midos. And they got a kapara. So ask Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Herschel Schachter brings us down in his Sefer, Mipnini Harav. What's the difference? How come Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to get into Eretz Yisrael? And why by Chet HaEgel was Klal Yisrael given the ability of tshuva and they were able to get in? Question one. Question two. We know this week's parasha, we have the Aseres HaDibros. We know that very fascinating halachic discussion. If you're supposed to stand for the Aseres HaDibros, the Rambam has in tshuva, that he feels that you should not be standing. It shows that these are more important than everything else. And we know that we have the Tam Elyon and Tam Tachlon. There's a different type of truck. Most people do stand. Everyone has different minhagim. But if you look in the actual Aseres HaDibros, we know that the Aseres HaDibros are found in Parshas Yisro and Parshas Veschanon. And there's a lot of differences. The Ramban and all the Mefarshim try to figure out all the differences. But there's a three-way machlokas of how to break up the Aseres HaDibros. We know the famous ones actually found in the Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Perish Mishnayis to Peya, of Zroim of Peya, and he says the way we break it up, which we're taught as little kids, is the first five is Ben Adam Lemakom, and the last five is Ben Adam Lechavero. And then we have that question, why parents? Why are they found? It should be Ben Adam Lechavero. I remember that one, that story. I always tell this story. I love the story that I was once, it must have been Parshas Yisro, and it was January time, the parents were in, and I was talking about, not this Rambam, I was talking about the Meiri's opinion. Why? Because the Meiri says that the way it goes 1 to 6, 2 to 7. For example, Anochi Hashem, I believe you're my God, Lo Tirtzach. You can't kill someone, because if you kill someone, you're denying the Tzelem Elokim. The Meiri says this in his Akdama, right? Menashe ben Solomon, 1249 to 1306. Tremendous, one of the Gedolei Rishonim. The Meiri puts everything together. And then, again, he goes through, it gets the clever, do it at your Shabbos table. Talk about how you could have Lo Tisav, the Lo Tignov, Shabbos, and you can't be a false aid, right? We know why that is, because Shabbos, right, that's why people are very makvid to do Vayechulu, because there's an Eidus. You're showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That's why you have to say Vayechulu with someone else. Machlokes, Chazonish, Mishnah Berurah. But then the last one was Kibbutz HaEim and Lo Sachmod. So a kid got up in the shir, and his father was there. That was the best part. And he said, listen, I have a mitzvah of kibud avim, but at the same time, lo sachmo, it's very hard because I'm very jealous of my friends because I really don't want my father. And the father laughed a little. It was kind of like a forced laugh. It was a pretty labidic thing. I'm like, that's crazy you say that in front of your father. I hope you have a good relationship, or maybe you don't. But I'm not jealous because I just don't want my father. Okay, anywho, yeah. So the Meiri breaks it down as 1 to 6, 2 to 7, 3 to 8. The Rambam breaks it down as 5 to 5 in the famous discussion, why parents, Ben Adam, why isn't it in the Ben Adam Lamakum side, which all the Mepharshim try to explain. And the last opinion is the Ibn Ezra. The beautiful Ibn Ezra says that there's an idea of Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa. Question 2, what does that mean? How do we see in the Aseres HaDibros Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa? And furthermore, we read about Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's some in the Mepharshim that take Shema and they put it into the Aseres HaDibros. They say everything that happens to Shema is found in the Aseres HaDibros. Amazing. Question 3. So, we just finished the Tisha B'Av and we're coming to Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami. And there's an amazing Rambam. The Rambam tells us, again, the Rambam codifying the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Megillah, in Daf Lamed Aleph, talking about how Ezra of Mesakein, that we read Kriyas HaTorah, and he put it all, right, Mondays and Thursdays, can't have 3 days without Torah. And the Rambam goes and he talks about when there are different parshas, when it's happening. And he says, for example, Bamidbar is always found before Atzeres. Atzeres in the Torah is Shavuos. And then when he talks about Devarim, when he talks about Tisha B'Av, he says, and the Parsha after Tisha B'Av is Veschanan. What do you mean? Why don't you do the Parsha before Tisha B'Av is Devarim? That always happens. And now we're after Tisha B'Av, so it's Veschanan. So why is the Rambam focusing on after? Why not before? And furthermore, just to strengthen this question, a very interesting discussion that takes place in the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Nun Tes. Eliezer Zairi is sitting on the floor, and he's crying over Yerushalayim, and the Rabbanim come, and they say, oh, you're so brazen, you think you're so great that you should be sitting on the floor for Yerushalayim. And he said, listen, I'm a Talmid Chacham, I learned Torah. So they said, yeah, you're such a very amazing give and take of the Gemara. You're such a Talmid Chacham. He said, yeah, listen, I have to get close to Hashem. I'm mourning Yerushalayim. I'm mourning the Beis HaMikdash. So they said, okay, we'll ask you a question. He's like, you know what? I'll ask you a question. So he turns to these great rabbis and he said, let me ask you, you take that tree and you cut it down. How much do you have to pay? So the rabbi's thinking. They're like, you have to pay for the tree. And they come to Zairi and Zairi says, no, it's not true. So Zairi says, no. What about all the blossoming, the blooming? You should pay for more than just what the tree is. So, okay, pay for a little more. Maybe it's starting to sprout. A little thing's coming out of the tree. And Eliezer says, no, you got to pay 60 times. I'm like, what do we have to pay 60 times? And they decide they're going to go to the Gadol Dor and he's going to pass in the Shiloh. And they went to the Gadol Dor and you pass in the Shiloh and you have to pay 60 times that tree. Again, I'm not sure. But 60 times that tree. Ask the Mepharshim, what is going on with this give and take in the Gemara? Why would you have to pay 60 times the tree? Alright, let's just chazer over. Again, we'll throw in others, we'll throw in stories, and we'll throw in more Divrei Torah. But let's just make sure we have it on the tip of our tongue. Clarity is of the essence. Question 1. Again, is Veschanan, ask Rav Shechter, the Shemer of Salvechik, Veschanan El Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, all he wants to do is to get into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says, don't daven another tefillah. If you daven, you're going to get in. But we know that Moshe Rabbeinu got Klal Yisrael kapara, cheta ego. Why couldn't he do it for himself here? Question 2, we know the Aseres HaDibros are broken up. And the question is about the Meiri. We know that he says 1 and 6, 2 and 7. You look in the Hakdamah to Shas, talk about it over your Shabbos table, with your parents, with your kids, with your grandchildren. It's very interesting. You can have a good time with it. Just to be, you know, think about how it is Anochi relate to Lo Tirtzach, how does not to have other gods relate to Lo Sinach, you know, to commit adultery. Oh, very interesting. You can get creative here. But the Ibn Ezra says, Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa, how does that relate? And question 3 is this Gemara about Eliezer Zairi and the Rambam that seems to say we go Parshas Veschanon after Tisha B'Av. So what's the Yisod? So in years past, I told this story. I heard it from Rav Ari Leibowitz, and it's a tremendous story, and it's interrelated with Tisha B'Av. But again, we just passed the Tisha B'Av, and now we have to go further. We have to think to the future. And the story is that there was a man, his name was Meir, he was married to a lady named Sarah. And, you know, beautiful marriage, except after year one, after year two, after year three, they weren't able to have children. And the hardships, and just to not be able to have, no one, Chas V'Shalom, should ever feel that pain. And they don't know what to do. And Sarah is telling Meir, listen, it's been after 10 years, maybe we shouldn't stay married, I want you to have a family. Mary says, no, I love you, I'm staying with you. And after 12 years, finally, Sarah is pregnant, and they're anticipating the day. They're so excited, finally they're going to have a child, create their offspring. They'll have children, bring into the world. They're Dori Doros. And they're davening. And then, Sarah goes into labor, and something happens. And they rush Sarah in, and they even tell Meir he can't go in to the labor with her, so he knows something's going on right now. And the doctors come in, and they're trying to figure it out. And they come to Meir, and they say, it's crazy. Right now we have to make a decision. Again, this is not a halachic story, but we have to make a decision right now. Either your wife's going to live, or your baby's going to live. So, again, halachically, probably, you know, the baby's just an Uber. It's not, I mean, it is a baby, but still it might be considered a rodef. Again, it's a very interesting halachic shaila, you have to know. But it's a story. Don't ask questions on the story. So they're trying to, Mayor's like, of course. I know this is so hard, but you're my wife, and you've been by my side, and this is our life together, and obviously you come first. And Sarah turns to Meir and says, no, I need you to have children, and no, I'm not letting it. Kachava, Sarah was Nifter, and they have a baby boy, Binyamin, and obviously so difficult. And Meir is raising this Binyamin, again, as a single father, raising him, trying to do his best. And finally, it's his bar mitzvah. And this is such a powerful day because it's his bar mitzvah. And the same day that he was born was his mother's yahrzeit. And the whole community comes down, everyone's giving support, and everyone's waiting for the first Kaddish, for the yahrzeit of his mother. And this boy, Binyamin, gets up, and all he says is, Yiskadal v'yiskadash. No emotion, nothing. Everyone goes home, everyone's obviously thinking, like, what's going on here? The father turns to, Meir turns to his son and said, I don't get it. And Binyamin says, listen, I know mom was literally Mesiras Nefesh for me, and she gave up her life for me. I never met her. I didn't have a connection to her. She was my mother. She brought me into this world. But I'm so distant from her. It says the Divna Magid that this story represents the Rabbona Shalom and Klal Yisrael. Meir is represented, says the Divna Magid, as the Rabbona Shalom. And he has the Shechina, and the Shechina is there, and the Beis HaMikdash, and the Karbonos, and the clarity, and everything is there. And he has this beautiful wife, Sarah, who representing of the Shechina, representing the Beis HaMikdash, where the Avodas HaKarbonos was, where the Gilui Shechina, where the Sanhedrin was, and the Lishkan HaGoz is in clarity. And now all of a sudden things go awry, and we're not behaving the way we should be, and things go awry, and now all of a sudden we have to make a choice, either the Beis HaMikdash or his children. And Hashem says that in my mercy, since you're my children and I love you so much, I'm going to take away my home. I'm going to take away my wife. I'm going to take away the Beis HaMikdash for you. because I believe in you. You're my children. And it's very difficult because we get to a Tisha B'Av, and we had a Tisha B'Av, and everyone feels, and again, there's so many shiurim and so many different things going on and so many different amazing videos, and the whole day is to try to feel it, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult to feel something that we never really had. And it's hard for us to say that Kaddish, those kinos with Kavana, and to really understand them. It's difficult. But our job is to look forward. Our job is to, yes, we're in pain, we're in suffering. We keep on going another Tisha B'Av, another Tisha B'Av, and we want the Beis HaMikdash. But we look to Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. We look at our nation. We look how far we've come. We look that we're still this chosen nation. As we know the famous story of Napoleon, he comes and he sees all these people on the floor and he says, what are you doing? And they said, what do you mean we're mourning our Beis HaMikdash? He said, when did the Beis HaMikdash destroy? Was it last year? Was it a couple months ago? They said, no, it was thousands of years ago. He said, what? He said, if there are people like this, you will never, ever be destroyed. And they've tried. The Goyim have tried destroying us so many different ways. Spanish Inquisitions, Hamoni massacres, the Holocaust, which is not so far away from us. So many things have taken place. And they're still trying to, but still Hashem has a promise. He has a promise that He loves us and nothing's going to happen to us. But He also has a promise that we're going to get to be Beis HaMikdash. And we have to look forward. We have to see we're making mistakes. And we have to take things upon ourselves and realize that we could do it. We have to make it meaningful. You know, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, there was total clarity. There was total clarity. We didn't have any doubts. We don't have doubts that there's a God in the Torah and the Mitzvahs, but it was so clear. And Muna was so clear. Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, it was clear for the whole world. That's why everyone comes down to the Kaisel. Because they know the wall, the Beis HaMikdash is right there, the clarity. It's funny, recently, me and my wife, we just went to the Kaisel. So I was there, and there were, you know, you have the late come. I was there, it wasn't Mincha yet, it was Shacharis, but yeah, the Shacharis people are davening your Mincha. It was awesome, because I love Duchening, right? And I went and I Duchened at the Kaisel, it's great. And I remember my story at the Kaisel a couple years ago. I was with my son, little Chaim. And Chaim, again, we gotta love little kids, because they hit the MS right away. They say it like it is. And he said, Dati, where's the Beis HaMikdash? I said, it's after this wall. He said, why don't we have it? I said, I know, we need to daven harder. He said, Tati, we're gonna take off our shoes and duchen? I said, yeah. He's like, where are we going to put our shoes? I'm like, we're going to put our, you know, like when you go into Gymboree and like you do your jumping thing, you put the shoes in the bucket, in the shelves. We're going to do that. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. He's like, we need to daven harder for the Beis HaMikdash. I said, you're right. We need it to have it harder for the Beis HaMikdash. We need to feel it more. I think this answers all these questions. Question one was, Soloveitchik asked, why by Moshe Rabbeinu he wasn't answered? And by Chet Egel he was. You know why? Because Klal Yisrael is a collective unit. There's nothing that could beat us down. As an individual, there's strength, and we spoke about it last week, there's strength in an individual, and the individual has a lot of koyach, has a lot of power, but it's a star. We said last week in the Parsha in Devarim, it's a star. But we come together as a unit. So when Klal Yisrael comes together as a unit, nothing can stop us. No, even if we messed up, even if we did a Chet Egel, we still could get in a Kapara. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a level of a Yachid. He was our greatest leader. He was our greatest Navi that ever lived. But he was a Yachid, and Hashem said no to him. But we need to come together as a unit. Hashem doesn't want to be upset with us anymore. You know, it's funny. I have a funny story that before the 3 weeks, me and my kids, I have a little swimming, a little pool, for a 5-year-old pool. But I go in there, have a good time, and we're splashing away, having a fun time. And then obviously, you have the neighbors. They're starting with us. Why would we start with them? And they're trying to throw water on us, even though we're below. They're on top, and I'm like, enough. Enough. But then my kids, obviously, they're not going to take that sitting down. So they start not fighting, but, you know, can't we get away with that? I said to my kids, if you don't stop, I'm out of the pool. And they still got it. If you don't stop, I'm out of the pool. I know they're starting with you, but we need to stop it. We can't do this. And when I thought about that, and they stopped. Because I really almost left out of the pool. They stopped. And it's the same thing with Hashem. Hashem says, listen, you're my chosen nation. I love you so much. And you're going to have differences. And there's going to, because Klal Yisrael is unique. You know, Rosenzweig, I went to Kinos and Nancy Swykola, Rosenzweig, Shlita. He says amazing things that the whole Arzal Vanim with all the 10 martyrs that were killed, our Gedolim, or the Akivin, all the greats representing the Shvatim. But each Shevet was its own individual. Each one of these Gedolim had its own Derech HaLimud. And Klal Yisrael is about different. We have all the different groups, all the group, but it's all one. It's all one. And we have to realize that we're all one, because Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't like when we're fighting. There's no point of it. He doesn't like when we're fighting. And he wants us to come together as a collective unit. Says the great Ibn Ezra, you know how we're going to have greatness? You know we're going to have greatness? We're going to change our machshava, our thoughts. Anochi, Hashem, you're our guard. Lo yelecha, I'm not going to have any other gods. Then I'm going to have my dibur. My dibur is so important. The way I speak. The way I give something over. Because people get affected from speech. And then I have dibur. And then I have maisa. I have action. Keep the Shabbos. Going right into a Shabbos. After a tishba, right into a Shabbos. The mitzvahs of Shabbos. Keep it of a aim. Doing the mitzvahs, keep it of a aim. Respecting your parents. Giving them fear. Helping them. Parents brought you into this world. You need to give them respect. You have to show a karas hatov, as the chinuch says. And then on the other side, you have maisa, lo tirtzach, lo tinaf. You can't kill. You can't commit adultery. Lo tignov. That might be dibor. Why? Because you can't have genevas das, or steal with your words. Lo sanah b'reacha. You can't be a false witness. You can't testify falsely. Dibor. And then at the end, you have machshava, lo sachmon. And the Ibn Ezra says, is that, how can you tell me what to feel? No one can tell me, but Hashem says, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you follow my commandments, and you realize that this is what it is, you'll realize in your machshava also what you're supposed to be thinking. And it's very hard to understand that. But we know, and we're doing the right thing, we're learning Hashem's Torah, and we're acting ba'achdus, and we're doing the mitzvos, and we're doing what we can, our machshava, our thoughts change. So the way we're going to do is we're going to come together, we're going to look to the future. What's Pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam says, why after Tisha B'Av is Ves Chanan? Because Ves Chanan is we look into the future. Ves Chanan, Tefillah, we daven, Aseres HaDibros, Kriyat Shema, Kabbalah Sol Malchut Shamayim. We realize that we're in a time of Hester upon Him. We realize that there are such great things happening in the world, but at the same time we don't have the Gilui Shechina, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We're not working hard enough to get it. We're not davening hard enough. Davening's hard. We all know davening's hard. But it's this idea that we look, we push through. We push through. You know, the two kids that were playing hide and go seek. And one kid, he's in the bushes. And he's crying and someone comes over and he's like, what's going on? And he's like, playing a game. He's like, what game? Hide and seek. So he's like, why are you crying? They haven't seeked you. So the boy turns to the person. He says, yeah, I'm hiding. They stopped seeking me. And that's us also. We can't stop seeking. The Ribbono Shel Olam is hiding because He wants us to get together. He wants to have achdus. He doesn't want sinas chinam. He wants us to believe in ourselves. He wants us to believe the Mashiach is going to come. He wants us to believe more in the Torah and the mitzvos. And He wants us to have the machshava, to have the thoughts of connecting to Him, but not just machshava, because thoughts are important, but also the ma'isa, both. And Hashem says, I love you so much. I love you. I love you. I know it's difficult. I know you're like my Binyamin. You never saw this. You never saw the Beis HaMikdash. You saw the Kaisel, and everyone loves the Kaisel. But you haven't seen my magnificent home. And I want to bring the home down. But the only way I'm going to be able to bring the home down is if you come together as a nation. Nachmu, nachmu ami. It's the idea of looking forward. The potential that we have, and not just the potential, we have it within ourselves. To greatness, starting with ourselves, working, and then it just turns into a fountain, just going out. And if everyone does this in Klal Yisrael, we're going to finally have the Beis HaMikdash. Because it's Hashem, everyone should have a nachmu, nachmu ami. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing Parshas Vayeshlach.